Good morning. Before I begin, I want to tell you a little story. When Rachel and I were planning this service, we thought it would be a grand idea to have Norman Rockwell's iconic picture, The Golden Rule, up here on the screen. So I contacted the Norman Rockwell Museum. They sent me a 22-page document about copyright law and referred me to the Curtis Foundation. So I Curtis Publications. I contacted them, and they said, well, yes, the beginning price would be $600. I said, well, thank you very much, but no thank you. So if you'd like to see this picture, you can come up after the service, and we won't charge you a dime. We UUs look to wisdom from the world's religion for guidance in our ethical and spiritual lives. Do we just repeat these words, or do we really hear them? We have a covenant to affirm and promote them, you know. There's more. The last words on the principle and sources page in the gray and teal hymnals says, grateful for the religious pluralism which enriches and ennobles our faith, we are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. Maybe these words should be at the beginning of the page. Ours is a covenantal faith. We covenant with each other and have incorporated the wisdom and richness of others in building our faith. Do we take these words of inspiration to heart and then act? We have drawn from Christianity and Judaism, for starters. Remove their words and many of the hymns we sing, using updated, marginally offending words, would have less text and depth. We have borrowed from nearly every major religion in the world. Just look at the gray hymnal, the words, the music, the readings in the back, or the teal hymnal, which is more contemporary and offers a more diverse selection. Our tendency, I believe, is to hear words from others, like the hymn we sang just a bit ago, and say, nice, different, or difficult. Do we value them as staunchly as our own hymns? Jim and I recently watched the National Geographic series called The Meaning of God. Morgan Freeman was a narrator, and he traveled the globe showing us breathtaking visuals of ancient religions, their sites, ritual, statues, sacred structures, some barely standing. This series didn't change my life, but it gave me a richer appreciation of the enormity and devotion of the adherents of those various religions. My own introduction to other faiths was brief in the Presbyterian Sunday School across the street. It was about fifth grade. I think we visited a Catholic church, maybe a Baptist church, but I don't recall any discussion. I suspect the teacher felt like we might jump ship if we weren't sure Jesus was our Presbyterian Lord and Savior. In June, our retired director of religious education, Katie Covey, and Jamil Scott, a former RE assistant here, co-led the middle school program at the UUA General Assembly in Columbus, Ohio. The group visited five places of worship in downtown Columbus: the Greek Orthodox Cathedral, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, known as AME, a mosque, a synagogue, and the Hare Krishna Temple. Katie reports the kids asked respectful questions about how we are different and how we are alike. The common thread among those religions was justice-seeking, love, and compassion. I think it would have been fun to be along. Let's take a quick look at religion, the R word. I Googled it, of course. Three definitions came up, and I imagine there are hundreds more. Number one, that came up is the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. This doesn't sound like many you use, I know. Number 2 and 3 were a particular system of faith and worship, or a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. These two sound a little more familiar. For me, Unitarian Universalism is more than an interest or a pursuit, but rather it's a personal practice, principles by which I attempt to live. Where did it all begin? We humans live all over this globe, and we have many different ideas and ways of looking at things. Religion, we are told, evolved from man and woman's curiosity and need to find answers to questions about creation, how and why things happen, the meaning of birth and death, and what happens after you die, if it does. There were so many natural events they could not understand or explain, and over which they had no control. Just think about it. The rain, the sun, the stars. They were there, then they weren't. The moon was there, then it wasn't. The sun was there, then it wasn't. Snow, hail, floods, tornadoes. Frightening, to say the least. Not surprisingly, the ancients created stories, songs, dances about these events, which gave them a greater comfort in their world. They began to give worth, to worship these entities, sometimes to obey them, and certainly to thank them. I believe these evolved into the Earth-centered religions we know about today, such as those of the indigenous people in our country and around the world. Religions expanded further into philosophies, even broader ways of thinking about life and death. The religions we know most about were born in India, China, and the Middle East. They had many gods, goddesses, symbols, statues. Judaism took a different path, beginning with Abraham, who felt that worshiping before statues was wrong, that there was only one true God. This emergence of other religions from existing ones occurred when someone believed there was another better way or found the existing practices unacceptable. Christianity came into being this way as well as the many sects or denominations we are familiar with. Our Unitarian roots go back to Reformation Europe in the 1500s. Universalism's origins date to the 1700s in England. Both, fortunately, were brought to the New World years later to establish a stronger liberal religious movement. The Unitarians and the Universalists merged in 1961. We UUs are indeed a tapestry of world religions, a big tent, so to speak. Many of us came from other traditions that were more rigid and symbol-driven or ridden, leading me to wonder, what would Jesus think? Or Moses? Or Mohammed? Their basic teachings of love, caring for one another, and justice have evolved sometimes into unrecognizable entities, provoking intolerance, violence, even war. Our faith, religious movement, whatever you choose to call it, has no statues, wordy creeds, or ornate belief systems. We have a golden opportunity to create something even better if we choose, and no one's going to tell us we can't. We say we want more diversity, a broader outlook in our congregations. What might that mean? I think to alter our largely white, middle-class way of doing things would be much harder than we think. Our habits, music, style largely originated in Protestant practices. How would it look and feel to chip away at some of that, to intentionally incorporate practices from other religions? If you are reading UU World or following online, you know that UUA President Peter Morales sees the future of liberal religion as multi-faith. Morales says this means to do more than tolerate or appreciate one another or work together for justice, but instead to embrace one another as multi-faith, knowing we would be more alike than not and stronger together. Our deep challenge is not just to hear, but to act upon the gifts from the ancient prophets and teachers, Jesus, Mohammed, Abraham, Buddha, and those of modern times, and come together with the like-minded, like-hearted souls of other liberal religious traditions. Draw the circle wider still.